Welcome to Harvest Valley Worship Center's Sermon of the Week. You can discover more about our church, pastors, and special guests at hvwc.com. We hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Awesome. Well, today is a special day. We're going to hear some testimonies. We're going to spend some time praying because we've taken the last 3 weeks to press into the Lord. We do 21 days of fasting and prayer at the beginning of the year. And in this, some of us have been having some encounters. Some of us have been experiencing some pretty amazing things. But one of the things that we do once a month and with a special guest coming, usually we do it the last Sunday of the month. But this is, we're going to do a real quick celebration of a couple of teams as we head into the rest of this. Heart for Harvest Sunday is usually the last one. But I wanted to celebrate two guys and one of their families that has set themselves apart. Where did Mike and Tiffany go?
They're right there.
Oh, y'all blended in way too well. Mike and Tiffany, will you guys come up now? And Kira, too. Yep, these guys have been doing our cleaning, church cleaning, the clean team. You know, they could use some help, too. So if you feel like you want to do some scrubbing and sweeping and all that stuff, see Mike, okay? Now with that, you've been so faithful. And we are so grateful. We are so grateful because at every turn, you guys are showing up. I'll just pop in and they're here cleaning, you know, and then they'll be here. They're aware of the calendar. They'll do a little extra here and there, making sure all the stuff's taken care of. We are so grateful. We wanted to not only publicly say thank you, but we wanted to give you guys a $100 gift card to Home Depot so you guys could work on some of your stuff around the house, whatever it is you guys got going on. Okay? All right? All right. Now, yes. So you guys stay up here. The other guy that I'm going to bring up is Kevin. Kevin's, for the last how many years, he's been just handling all the facilities here at Harvest. And so we have a board of trustees that's like the oversight of all the facilities. And if there's ever any loans or title, or he's in charge of all that stuff. But he's actually just been the dude on the ground that when there's a need here, he just shows up. In fact, he has a sixth sense now. He just shows up and he's like, I saw that. I got to take care of that. And he just does it. And Kevin has faithfully served. And with zero, like, look at me. Neither of these guys have done that, you know. And so we love it that people are faithful and available to just honor the house, to serve. It's not about serving me. It's serving you guys and what we're doing. And so we're so grateful, Kevin. There's a little Home Depot card for you.
Oh, no, honeydews.
Yeah, if you didn't hear that, he said, oh, no, honeydews. Hey, Dennis and Colleen, will you come up? And Mika, will you join me up here? We're just going to pray over you guys. Micah, why don't you come join your hubby? Father, we're grateful for these team leaders. These men who've just chosen to serve faithfully, for these families that are willing to put in the work, and little Bailey who runs the trash out. So, Father, we're thankful that they're modeling how to serve as a family. Mike is doing that. We thank you, God, that they are constantly trying to listen and hear, but they're faithful. Father, we thank you for Kevin. We thank you for Kevin and Micah. We ask God for this season to be so fruitful in their lives. As they continually lay before you their hearts, their vision, their passions, and they say, Lord, do what you do. God, I pray that you would just begin to continually open up the doors and that their hearts would be steadfast, immovable in you. Father, we thank you for those who are serving with them, those who've jumped in on projects, who've helped with cleaning, who've helped with the facilities. God, I pray that you'd raise up more people to help in these teams, to be able to serve in a way that just blesses this community. These aren't weights to be carried by themselves. So, Father, we just thank you and we praise you that as they serve, as they pour out their lives to just honor you and what you've asked them to do, that, God, you're pouring out a blessing upon them which they can't contain. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. We bless you guys. Thank you. Yep. Awesome. We had a youth night Friday night. That was a ton of fun. We had about, I don't know, total like 10 people there, and we just played games. What do you meme? Hilarious. Played a little charades. It's not every day you see a 15-year-old boy run across your living room like a giant dinosaur. And that was awesome, by the way. So we had a good time. But Riot is going to be a lot of fun next Friday night, starting around 6 o'clock at Parkside Church. We will put up the next slide for me, Charlotte. Thank you. All right, here we are, Rooted Identity. I just want to share a couple of quick thoughts with you. I just want to remind you, as we press into this year, we're going to hear testimonies and prayer. But as we press into the year, I just want to remind you why we're here. If we're going to have an identity as a community, we're here to reveal the love and the power of God. That is our mission. Go ahead and do the next slide, please. That is our mission, to reveal the love and power of God. Our vision is to be a refuge for healing, a center for equipping, and a launch pad for transformation. Everything we do is to heal, equip, and transform. Does that make sense? Now, the reality is as we look forward, as we look at where we're going and who we are, we have to remember that God put us here with purpose and intention and with a reason. And that means that this is a safe place as a refuge for healing. That means that we're not going to prophetically abuse our gifts. We're not going to manipulate you by saying, God told me that you should go do. Okay, we can submit a word of, I feel like God might be saying this to you, but we're not going to take a stance of, I'm hearing God and this is what you must do. That's manipulation. Like, we actually have to posture our hearts in a place of humility that says, I'm picking up something, I think it's this, and I'm going to declare it to you, and you get to judge it, you get to do what the Lord tells you to do with it. Most really good words get rejected because of how they're given. The ones that actually will transform you get rejected because they're not given the right way. Not in an actual safe way. So we're going to actually be spending time this next year working on our prophetic ability to hear God and speak forth what he's saying in a manner that actually allows people to step into that, allows them to heal, allows them to grow, because the Lord is speaking to every single one of you. And he's going to use some of us to say it to you. And the reality is that we love you. And if you don't feel loved by a prophetic word, will you tell somebody? Does that make sense? Right? Because that's what we got to make sure that we're getting the heart of the prophetic right. Encouragement, comfort, exhortation. Right? So, I don't even know why I talked about that, but hallelujah. I felt like it's important because I think that there's very few prophetic cultures and like where people are actively speaking what they're seeing and hearing from God, which we're going to get some prophetic stuff today. Maybe that's why I'm just trying to prime the pump a little bit, or maybe let everybody know like how it is that we're going to move forward today. Because some of you have been hearing so clearly about what God wants to do in this next season, and he started pouring out stuff on you over the fast. I will tell you that the more and more that we tune our ear to heaven, the more we're going to have to say. So learning how to say it in a way that honors the heart of the Father is a key to actually having your word received. I work with a lot of really strong prophetic people. And if they've got a really strong prophet gift on their life, they have a really hard time not rubbing everybody the wrong way. They really do. And the reality is because that gift carries with it this like sword to it. So we have to bathe the sword in the love of God. And then it's a surgeon's scalpel that's done gently under the power of the Holy Spirit. Instead of throwing, I've got a friend who says, you know, all you got to do is deliver the mail if you're a prophet. Like, I got a letter from God. I'm just going to deliver this to you. And I said, well, if every time I open the mailbox, there's an M80 in there, I'm not going to open the mailbox anymore. Right? Like, I don't want to hear it if it's always going to blow up at me. So we're going to continue to learn how to bathe every word with the heart of the Father. Because each of you can hear God. And each of you will have something that you need to say to somebody else on behalf of what you feel like the Lord is telling you. So we have to learn how to bathe that in the heart of the Father. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't times where you have to say something that's really difficult or really hard. Because prophets are good at that. Because they're seeing things you're not. Hey, make sure it's bathed in the heart of the Father. And you're going to be fine. Does that make sense? All right. Hallelujah. All right. As far as the refuge for healing, one other aspect that I will say is God is revealing who he is in and to us, through us, into this community. And because of that, we want everyone to be equipped with how to share the gospel. We want everyone to be equipped with how to lead. We want everybody equipped with how to disciple and mentor people. If you are of the household of faith, you're following Jesus and you're not clear on how to disciple, you're not clear on how to share the gospel, you're not clear on any of that, start in the all-in journey. If you take an all-in journey, go through leader step. We have equipping steps and equipping process to make sure that you are equipped to be able to do the things that God has called you to do. We are a center for equipping. We also do a lot of other developments. You're going to see several big book studies come through this year. We're going to be doing a lot of fun things. So just know, keep your ear tuned to those things as we move through the year. The other thing, as far as transformation goes, being a launch pad doesn't mean that we send people willy-nilly. Yeah. And to be sent means that somebody actually sends you. You don't go on your own. To be sent means that some people come around you, they believe in you, they lay hands on you, and they declare, yes, we are with you, we're behind you, we're going to run with you, we're going to launch you into that next thing. It's not you saying, I got to go and do my thing because nobody is doing anything for me. That's not being launched. That's falling off a cliff. And then you wonder, I don't know why it didn't work. I am telling you, like there is going to be some absolute transformational ministries launched this year. Amen. But can you do it with us, please? Yeah. We want to pray for you. We want to cover you. We want to give you wisdom. We want to support you. And it's not about, like, our whole team wants to do that. All of our leaders want to do that. We want to walk with you into the fire. Let's storm hell with a water pistol. Let's go. But we'll do it with you, right? One other thing that I'll just say is we have great examples of people who've been launched properly. Ben Collard is one of them. Okay? That's right, I'm talking about you. You had to check real quick, like, wait, what? So Ben went through our internship, received training, getting mentored by me, spending a lot of time together, working through stuff in his heart. And then God said, here's an opportunity. And he coded it in prayer. He sought the Lord. He didn't just go like, yep, I'm in. He actually sought the Lord and he sought a lot of counsel. And in that process, God affirmed him and confirmed the call to be the house manager at the Bethesda Men's House. And we sent him. He still comes every Sunday. It's not like he's somewhere else, but he is in full-time ministry as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, working with men, bringing them into a higher understanding and knowing of Jesus Christ. That's a launched minister. In case anybody's like, what does it look like? Look at Ben. Okay? And we do this. We do this. Micah's been doing healed healers. Sent, launched, like, go, run. We have not, I'm like, oh, just keep me updated. Tell me what you're doing. I love to hear about it. Of course, we have enough relational connection that we get to hear about it anyways. But, you know, because there's the relational connection, it's just a normal flow of life. She's just doing her thing. We praise God for that. Amen? Like, there is so much freedom when you come closer than when you go on your own. Yep. Yeah, because sometimes things go sideways and you need to make that phone call because you don't know what's going on. All right, let's go to the next slide. Charlotte, you're doing awesome. Thank you. It's one of the verses for the year. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Yeah, that's you. Prosper. Roots going deeper. You prosper because you are stepping into a flow from heaven because you're actually hungry for the word. And this was one of the things that happened, I think, over the 21 days. I know for some people, they had these encounters with the Lord as they got in the Word. They're like, this is unique. This is different. This is special. I'm absolutely loving this. Some of you had to grit your teeth because the bag of popcorn and the bars of chocolate were staring at, oh, I mean, that's not my house. I mean, the oh, the red vines and the Fritos and the Dr. Pepper. That was me like 18 years ago before I was married. I don't know. So some of us had to just gut this one out. How many of you felt like you were just hanging on for dear life through this fast? I mean, that was me for sure. Like there were these moments of like, oh, I feel like the Lord's in. And then I'm like, I'm just like trying to hang on. Can I be transparent? I'm not like the perfect dude. Had some struggles on the fast. It was tough. I didn't finish one of my books. Thank you, Kevin. I needed to hear that. Appreciate that. God loves Chris. Amen. I received that. So, but some of us had some actually pretty radical encounters. So we're going to hear some testimonies around all this stuff. You can go ahead and put the next slide up, Charlotte. That one's going to be up for a little while. This 2024 focus of Rooted Identity is going to be around all year. But with that, I want to open up time for anybody who has some testimonies from our 3 weeks of fasting and prayer. I already have a handful of people that I want to hear from. In fact, I'm going to start with Dennis and Colleen because you guys had a pretty wild encounter in your living room. So why don't you guys come on up and share? Colleen, I know you're going to talk a lot. So there's that.
Why don't you start? Yeah. We decided to fast watching movies because we don't have regular TV and, you know, sometimes it occupies our evenings more than it should. So we dedicated this time to just connecting with the Lord and playing worship all the time. And we were watching, one evening we were watching David Hogan. He was at Bethel a while back, and we were just watching this radical man of God. He's like the most radical man of God I've ever seen. And we were sitting there watching it, and all of a sudden, the lights blinked, and a fireball appeared in the top of our living room. It's like, we looked at the clock. No, the clock wasn't blinking, which it always does when the power goes off. So it's like Holy Spirit said that was a supernatural manifestation. I went, wow, I've never seen anything like that. Lord, what does it mean? And I felt like he said, along with the love that you carry, there's power. So it was a precious time. So many intimate moments with the Lord, and just playing the guitar and worshiping, sometimes just taken away. So it was a precious time, and we so value that.
And me and my logical mind, I automatically just covered my head, and I said, what was that? At first, I thought an airplane was going to crash in our house, or maybe an electric pole was on fire, but we don't have any electric poles. So, yeah, it's like, but Dennis right away knew it was a supernatural thing, and then I felt it, and it's like, yes, Lord, thank you for reminding us what's important. It's so easy just when you're tired and you just want to put a movie on, and the rest of the evening's just gone, and of course we have to watch it over again because we fall asleep halfway through it. But we're just thankful for this time to get closer to the Lord.
Yeah. Wow. Fantastic, fantastic. Awesome. I'm going to have Warren and Kelly come up and share now, because they had a really interesting experience at their house. And these are kind of cool, fantastical things, right? Like, that's like, wow, you see fireball, you see other things, but it's actually real. This stuff happens. And so just, it's great eye-opening.
Go for it. Well, for our fast, what we did was no breakfast for the 21 days. And then every Wednesday, we didn't eat at all. And so that was a long day. The first Wednesday wasn't so bad. We were used to not having breakfast, but then you go all day and then all night and then the next day till the next noon. So it approached 40 hours. It wasn't 40. But in the second week, my body was yelling. It was really yelling. And we put all social media away, and no Starbucks. I like Starbucks for me. So one thing that happened last year, we were reading through the Bible in the year, and I got about 40 days behind, but I just felt like I needed to finish. And so the last little bit of December, I pushed and caught those 40 days up and finished, and on Christmas, I think, or Christmas Eve. And so starting this new Bible reading, I was kind of reluctant. I thought, I don't know if I want to do that exactly like that. And I just was kind of dragging my feet a little bit, to be honest. But I did, and something happened in this in this 21 days. It is so different than last year. The word, the hunger, just exploded in me. And I felt like there was a lot of revelation that came as a result of that. But a week ago Friday, we were going to go to the healing rooms on Saturday, which isn't normal, but we thought, I better get this Bible reading done, because we get up really early to get to Spokane. And so I did it that night. We just wrote our comments and didn't post it until the next morning when we got up. And Kelly went in, and she was on the phone with her mom and in the back of the house. And I got done, and there was a Psalm 9, I think it was, that just exploded. And it just reminded me of the testimony of Jesus as the spirit of prophecy. And it just blew in my heart. And so I kicked YouTube on and had worship music going, and I was standing in front of the fire, and I just began to worship. And I've always been a little tight, you know, not so free. And I felt like God just unwound me in the front of that fireplace. And I had my eyes closed, and I told Chris the other day that my eyes were watering. He says, "You mean you were crying?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I was crying." Anyway, but I opened my eyes, and I looked back toward the kitchen. We've got a long island, and there's pendant lights hanging over that island. And I opened my eyes, and I saw a fog, and I go, "Oh, that's just my eyes watering." So I kind of rubbed them, and I looked back, and I go, "That is not from my eyes." And it was just thick. It's like you burnt something in the kitchen, and there's smoke lingering, and it was thick right behind there, the full length of that. And I go, "I know what that is, God. That's your presence." And I was feeling that presence, and I went back. I go, "Well, Kelly's got to see this. You're still on the phone." I go, "I'm going back in where it is." So I went back in, and she finally did come out about 25, 30 minutes later, and I go, "Hey, come here." And she came over by the fireplace, and I says, "Look over there." And I says, what do you see?" And she says, "I see mist." Well, it had diminished probably two-thirds, but it was still there, and she walked up, and she put her hand, I mean, you could still see it enough. She was putting her hand in that mist. And so that was pretty incredible. I've never seen anything like that. I've never experienced anything like that. But he showed up, and he broke some things off of me that night. And so not quite twirling right here yet, but but yeah, anyway.
Not yet.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, too, we have, I think, five pendant lights, but we have five pendant lights above our island, and when I went up to do this, it was like, "No, come." It's like, go to each one and pull it in. But I would like to share what God had showed me was in one morning, and I was reading out of the Message translation, which is interesting because Sheila got the same revelation on the scripture where the blind man followed Jesus after he had healed a girl, and he was heading home, and these blind men saw or heard what Jesus did, and they followed him all the way home into his house, and they said, "Mercy, Son of David, have mercy on us," because they saw, they heard what he did. And he said, "Become what you believe." And I thought, "Oh, God, that is so powerful. Become what you believe." And as they said that, they were healed. And I find it so interesting that they couldn't see him, but they followed his voice. So God was just really drawing me in to that, saying, live what you believe. If you believe, then live it, then say it, then declare it. Show, live what you believe. So, yes, yes. Well, Father, I thank you that you're all about equipping us, that you're all about giving us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. So I thank you, Father, that you empower us, that it's nothing that we do in our own strength and our own will, God, in performance, God, but it's all about you. I thank you that you empower us to live and become what we believe, that we risk, God, that we step out and we risk becoming what we believe. So then that's what brings revival, God. That's what brings healing, because we live. We become what we believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, come on, so good. Micah had some dreams. Anybody else ever get funky dreams? You're not quite sure what's going on? Micah's going to share a little bit.
Yeah, so I shared last week about the difficulty I was having with the fast. I'm giving up coffee and breakfast, and anyway, I won't go into all that, but this last week, I felt like God was just saying, just ask me before you put something in your mouth. So I can't say I did it perfectly, but I was asking him for deeper revelation of him and a clearer, like hearing him, seeing him more clearly. And I've had periods before where I've had very clear dreams, but I hadn't had any for a long time. And so I was asking the Lord, you know, Lord, if you have anything to speak to me in my dreams, please let me be aware of that, like open my spirit to that. And so this last week I had two dreams. I think it was like they were a couple nights or a night apart. And I always know there's something going on in the spirit when I wake up with like warfare, like where I'm fighting demons. And that's how it was. But this time I asked the Lord, I said, I know that there's some deep meaning in this for me, so please help me understand what it is that you're trying to speak. And he gave me a full interpretation of everything in both of the dreams, both for warning, for encouragement, for strengthening, and it was just so amazing. It really, and this last week, my quiet times with the Lord, and I haven't even been reading the Bible a whole lot, but he's really been speaking a lot to my heart just with time with him, and that's been so great. And I got a huge word of encouragement about a healing. The last, when Elizabeth was here in September, one of the things she had us do is she said, if you feel like God is ask God and ask him if there's anybody that you know that's not here who needs a miracle, and ask them if they need a miracle and then pray for them. And there was a girl that I had gotten connected with that I knew when I was little and through Facebook, and she had shared with me some things that she'd been going through, and Lord brought her to my mind. So I reached out on Messenger and I said, hey, do you need a miracle? And she said, funny thing, you should ask that. she had been having problems with her thyroid, and she didn't want to go on medication, but she had to go on medication, and she was having a whole bunch of side effects from the thyroid issue and the medication. Anyway, so I prayed for her. That was in September. Didn't hear a word about it later, but I did say, like, when you go back and get checked, let me know, because I'd love to, like, celebrate with you. Well, she let me know this week. She went back, she got checked, everything is totally normal, and she's off her meds. Yes?
I want you to pray for people who have dreams to get quick interpretation and revelation from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Lord, we thank you that you speak to us through dreams. God, it says that the young men will see visions and the old men will dream dreams and the women and the girls, Lord. And so I just release that spirit of revelation in our dreams. And God, for a quick tune our ears to hear you, tune our eyes to see you. God, may our radio dials be tuned in to your frequencies so that we can quickly and clearly hear the message that you're speaking and understand it. Lord, bless us with the spirit of understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on. So good.
Yay. All right. Who else wants to share from their fast? I feel like you guys have something to release. Do you have something to release, Robert and Sheila? I've been feeling it. I feel like the Lord did some stuff that you guys should probably just have at it.
Want to do rock, paper, scissors to see who's first?
You're first.
So for me, my fast, we do a master cleanse, and it's a recipe of water, lemon juice, cayenne pepper, and pure grade syrup. And I did that for 8 days. I did cheat with some pickle juice. I needed to change the flavor. But for me, it wasn't as spiritually profound as it was like a reboot. You know, when you just need to start your computer and just get a little bit of a reboot, you don't really notice anything on the computer, but yet you know it was important and it was a good reboot. So for me, it felt like that. But I really have also been enjoying the Bible reading as much as I can. And the one that Kelly and I were sharing some notes about, I love the Message Bible. And I love that it was talking about the blind men. But my curiosity always leans when Jesus says, What do you want? And when those blind men were following him, he asked the blind men, do you believe I can heal you? And what do you want? And so they said, yes. Then he said, live as you believe and become as you are designed to become. So for me, it was just yet one more reminder of what is it that I want and how do I believe and how do I want to become? Is it all that he's made me to be or am I hindering that? So for me, that was my aha moment. But it's been super fun to see Robert go through his process of that. So yeah, I'll give it to him.
Yeah. I'm a little out of sorts today because I had a demonic battle last night that rocked me hard. And so that's okay because that those things happen. And I get it. And so I don't need to be who I'm not, and that's who I am. And so, bam. But after the fight, I went back to sleep, and that was it. During the fast, for anybody that hasn't fasted complete solids for weeks at a time, it's a different animal. I just want to let you know. I mean, I've done fasting all of my Christian life and long fasts with no food. And this was 12, 15 days of no food. And really, really good, because during the first week I said, you know, I'm getting sick and tired of not seeing you. And I'm not talking to God, because I see God. I'm very familiar with God, but I'm talking about my angel. My angel's been with me on my journey. So he showed up, and he's a scary dude. And so I'm like, okay, that's enough. You can recede into the background. And he wouldn't, you know, and it was like, okay, all right, I see where we're going with this. And I was getting some very serious revelations about who I am. And I think that some of you are going to begin to get some serious revelations about who you are. I was just sharing with my wife the other day that there's a lot of leaves on the trees, and they kind of, they blow, and, you know, but God's not looking for leaves. He's looking for branches, okay? He's looking for strong, connected branches, because leaves, there they go. When they turn brown and they die, they're raked up and they're thrown in the fire. God sees this place as a place where it's going to be gigantic branches. And the way that you're going to begin to enter into that revelation is through revelation. And revelation is very scary. And I'm believing that we have prayed for hundreds and hundreds of people in meetings and laid hands on them, that the imagination of the spirit man would come alive to such a place that you would begin to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. You begin to walk in a revelation of his glory and his majesty and his power. And that as you begin to take those steps in the spirit man, that just begins to be an outflow of your natural man. And the next thing you know, people are being saved, healed, and delivered right in your midst. And we've got to be a people who will go, yes, God, I will have more of that. And then he will terrify you as he did Abram when he was in a vision and then in a dream. And then there was great terror that came upon him. Whew. We cannot be afraid of the terror. We've got to start crying out, terrify me, so that I can come in an absolute submissive state of mind, so that I can walk into and become who you've called me to be. And in that terrifying moment, while in a vision and then in a deep sleep, the covenant from God was made with Abram that he would be the father of a multitude of nations. I believe that there are some people that are going to come in our midst, that are in our midst now, that God is going to begin to terrify you at a level you've never understood before. And all of a sudden, all of the Sunday school stories that you love are going to become your life. And you're going to begin to see things in the spirit realm that are going to blow your mind. And you're going to begin to walk in new revelation so that you can fulfill the will of God in this hour. This is the hour. This is the time. It's no more time to play church. It's time to be church. Yeah, so Father, we just stand in agreement, Lord God, and we thank you, God, that you're going to anoint with fire. You're going to anoint with the dripping oil from heaven. You're going to cause there to be such revelation in the people, God, that they're going to begin to be afraid to even speak, lest it just burst into a fire and consume them. But yet they will speak, and they will begin to do things, and they will begin to enact what you have called from the foundation of the earth for them to walk in, and that is your power. We're afraid. But we're not afraid of the devil. We're afraid, but we're not afraid of our calling. But God, that fear is a reverence for you, God, that we might not make a misstep that would cause there to be any kind of a disparagement on your name. And God, we step into it willingly, knowing that you are the author and perfecter of our faith, and that you will lead us and guide us into all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Spot on. Spot on. I think that's one of the most transformational moments that many of us have is when we actually encounter his presence in a manner that is wholly otherworldly, and we go, this is terrifying. You're not who I thought you were. And boy, that lines up the heart so much with just being like, I'm all in, right? Because you get this encounter with something that's like, whoa, so good, so good. I want to open it up for anyone else. If you have any testimonies, Christina.
So I'm not really good at walking, receiving, and talking at the same time. I'm actually pretty accident prone, so I'm going to grab a stool if that's okay.
Not that one.
Oh, I don't want that one. Thank you. That's perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Mika. I don't want to get unstable and fall and, you know. It's been a pretty crazy 21 days, to be honest. And God has worked miracles in my life, all my life. And Pastor Chris was asking for people to get up here to speak and share their testimony, I got eyes on me, looking at me, are you going to get up there and share your testimony? And I've been sitting here and, you know, kind of lost, listening and lost in my own thoughts. And then the fear comes up of, well, Chris said not to get the microphone and speak too much. And then I'm like, but I can't really share what has truly happened without kind of taking some people's time. And so thank you for the time and space in advance. I won't be too long, but it bleeds all together. And so I would be remiss to not share everything because I don't think you'd get the full picture of what has happened for me these past 21 days. Yep. So there was a young lady in 2007-08 that I met at this restaurant I worked at named Christina's. I was a waitress there. We worked together for a couple years, and then I was moving to Virginia. And at work that day was my last day, and she's like, well, I want to go with you. So she was a young lady. She was, I guess about almost close to 20 years younger than me. So I said, okay, come with me, you know. So we moved to Virginia. She gets into some tough stuff. She got kind of recruited by some, you know, people that didn't have her best interest. Take her to a concert one night, and I get this feeling, and this has kind of been my whole life. I've had this great sixth sense by the glory of God. And I'm like, you know, I had walked her out to the car because she was just not herself. So took her to the hospital. God saved her life that night. Fast forward to today and the 21-day fast. I had, in that time, I had been dating this guy who was, you know, not such a savory person. I'll just keep it at that. I had been going to the doctor for PMDD, got put on some medication. I didn't realize the side effects of the medication. Ended up, you know, doing something to myself that was self-harm, and I ended up in the hospital. And so, again, I'm going to fast forward because it all leads up to this. So part of this 21-day fast, I get a phone call from Access Mental Health, and they want a reference for this young lady because she has decided to become a counselor. And she and I have followed her life, watched her get married, watched her have children, watched her go through a divorce and then get married again. And in my head, I had fear coming up. And one of the school's things that I work at, it's always choose love over fear, choose love over fear. And so I'm thinking as they're calling me, they're never going to give this poor girl this job because I had attended, you know, some of their classes many, many years ago. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to ruin it for this young lady. Well, again, that's fear speaking. And so I give her this well-deserved reference. And I'm, you know, driving to work, and I'm just feeling so grateful that, you know, I had this opportunity with this young girl and that we've just stayed in each other's life. And then a couple days later, I get this text from her. Oh, my God, they hired me. You know, they said I was their top choice. And I'm like, oh, you know, thank you, God. You know, I had all this fear, the devil coming up in my head. And then I'm going to work another day, and I go into work. And from my old office, I used to always provide snacks and coffee for any of my former clients that would come, and I had a whole library for them, because it was always important to me to create an experience when they came to my business, and that if they were hungry and whatever, I had stuff to provide for them. So I go into my office one day, and I go to get coffee, and I'm like, man, these are bags from my office. These are the coffee pods that I bought for my office. They're, you know, what's that word? No, not Keurigs, but they're like the eco-friendly pods, you know. So Clearview's never had these at the time since I've been here. So I'm like, wow, this is really strange. And so this is how God has worked in my life. Like, he works through me in synchronicities, and I have this gift of kind of living and existing in different realities. And so I'm like, wow, what is happening here, right? So then I go and I get prayed on prayer night, and I felt so free, and there was just, you know, a safety. And ever since I was young, I have prayed for a home. Like, I just want a home. And I've been running for a home for a long time. I thought I had found that in New Jersey. Well, then, you know, I get prayed over, and I can relate to the students that I work with, and I admire them so much because they come in and, you know, they're struggling to accept the reality of being in treatment. Versus wanting to be home. And so I always, every day, I feel so much compassion for them, because what I have been struggling with since I got to Idaho was living in two different worlds. Like, I love the work I'm doing here. I love my church family. I didn't have that back east. I had my counseling family, but, you know, that's gets a little dicey there, right? And so I came to the realization through all of this that God has led me home, and I had to make a choice of leaving my dream behind, which my dream was to go back to New Jersey and be with my former clients. And I've been kind of existing in that spot while working with these wonderful students and loving on them and pouring into them, but also really identifying with their desire to be elsewhere. You know, and then just a couple days ago, I just made the choice, like, I can't keep suffering, right? Like, this is where God obviously brought me to, and so this is where I'm at. And whatever God has in store for me, I got to put it into his hands because I can't keep suffering, right? And I often say that suffering is optional. Pain is a reality of life. Suffering comes when we don't accept the reality of our situations. And I haven't been accepting the reality of my situation. And so I accepted the reality. I let it go. I, you know, just said, thank you, God, for the opportunities I had back east. And obviously, this is where you want me now. And then by happenstance, you know, our executive director resigned. And he's poured into Clearview and just loved on everybody for so long there. And then an opportunity came to me to be a program director of this wonderful program with these students. And so it's just amazing to me in these 21 days, I've been marred in confusion and existing in different realities and always in the synchronicities of life and noticing all this. And these are things I don't really share with people. And now here I am today in this great spot. I have a church family. I have a home. I have students that I love working with. I have a Clearview rescued me, right? They truly did. They picked me up and they brought me out here and they rescued me. And I've decided that I'm home. And that has been the biggest transformation for me in the 21 days.
Hey, I want you to hang out for just one second. How many of you? Yeah, welcome home. Welcome home.
We love you, Christina.
I love you guys.
Christina, I'm going to have you come stand right here. And I'd love for all the women in the church to come surround her real quick. We're just going to pray over this. I feel like this is a breakthrough for home. Yeah. It's time to be home. And I think that she's kind of prophetically signaling to many of us that it's time to come home. It's time to be home. Okay? So.
Thank you, God, for bringing Christina to us. Thank you for bringing her home. Thank you for preparing this place for her, the people for her, the love that she needs. God, you see all the needs of her heart. You see all of the healing that needs to happen, Lord, and you have prepared a perfect place for her to rest and to receive healing. And God, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you are smiling over her, that you are singing over her, that you are dancing around and with her, and that you desire to bring her into a whole new reality, one that she's never experienced before, that is so wonderful and so full of light and love and healing and restoration. And so we just stand in agreement and we say, welcome home, Christina. Welcome home. You are welcome. You are wanted. You are loved. You are heard. You are valued. Not for what you can do, but for who you are, who God has created you to be. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody else that wants to?
Yeah, Father, I just pray that you would let your glory fall. Let your glory fall here. God, I thank you that you are creating a home for so many. I just am reminded of the billboard when I went up to Schweitzer and it said, welcome home. And it was like, I think I am. Thank you for inviting us here, Lord. Thank you for making a place for us and setting us in families. I praise you for the healing that happens when we get to be with you in place and with people. So thank you, Lord, for this lovely woman who's decided that this is home. And I pray you bless her and you bless the family she's been set in. And it just goes round and round. Thank you, Lord.
You know, Christina, when soldiers come home from war, other soldiers will look at them and they'll welcome them home because they know the battles and they've been on the battlefield. And when you connect with that part in another warrior, you have the connection of truly being home.
God, I thank you so much for bringing Christina home. And I praise you for the faith she has demonstrated in receiving that. I feel like there is a prophetic significance and a weight of release, Christina, on you accepting that God has brought you home and letting go of the things that are behind and laying hold of what you have in Christ. And so I want to ratify that. I want to affirm that and say, thank you, Lord, for releasing that in this house. And I pray that everyone who needs to let go of something that's behind or something that's current so that they can cling to you, Lord, I pray that that be imparted, that ability to let go in faith. Set our eyes on what's ahead. Set our eyes on what's above. Set our eyes on Christ. And cling with all of our might to him and what he has for us and be home in Jesus' name.
Holy God, we know you're here with these women and with Christina, of course, and we know you sent her to us, direct gift, and we take her on. I knew it from the beginning. I knew it from the beginning. She is special. And she is ours, our gift. And we take her. We take her. All of us take her. Even future generations. Because girls come and go at Clearview. I'm the only one who stays. I've been here 27 years, but there will be new girls and new faces and new youth for them, these wonderful women to nurture, to introduce God to them. Because a lot of these girls didn't even know. It was a secret. It's kind of a secret crew, you're right. Yeah, it is. And she is here, and we are going to love on her. And we are going to be full of girlship and friendship. And we are, my generation is very good to women. And we love each other, and we love the sisters. And that's our generation, and that's where I came from, the 60s. So, Christina, God is with you right this moment. He's here. Yeah. He's here. Amen. Can you feel him? Yeah. He's here. I feel him.
Thank you so much. So good. We'll have this be the last prayer. You just close us out.
Okay. Yes, always. Yeah. Father, I just ask you, thank you that you are so gentle with Christine, that you don't reach out and you rip things out of her hands, but you're gentle, and that you work in her heart and you love her to a place where she's willing to let go and to say yes, Lord, to you. Thank you that Christine has done that, and I just thank you that every single thing that has been binding her, holding her to New Jersey, New Jersey, yeah, that Lord, all of those things would just be cut off, gently cut off, and that she would just know that her place, her home, number one, is in you, and she is in you, so she finds her place in you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. You got a testimony? Yeah, go for it. All right, guys. Rachel's going to share real quick.
I'm shaking. I'm so scared.
Oh, well, come up on the platform then.
Oh, God.
So get used to that. Okay.
So there were two things that happened in my fast, and I did intermittent fasting and just dove into worship music and prayer. And the first thing, it was really the second thing, but the first thing that I'm going to talk about was in North Carolina. There was a girl who went to church here, and she moved to North Carolina to be with her mom, and her mom had passed. And I was there and I was not feeling my connection with God. And so I went out in the garage in our van and I just put worship music on and I sang really loud and not prettily. And it was amazing. And I came back in and I said, oh God, my connection is back. And she said, I don't really feel God and I don't hear him talk to me. And I said, usually I just put on music and I listen. And I said, sometimes God will just put a scripture in my heart, like Ephesians 3:18. And she said, what did you say? And I said, like Ephesians 3:18. And she went to her phone and she pulled up the scripture that she had read, I think it was the day before. And it was Ephesians 3:14 through 21. And in that moment, she knew that God was there with her and that he was listening to her and talking to her. So. And the second thing, really the first thing, back in 2022, I had a vision for a mental health wellness center. And when God gave me this vision, it was massive. It was huge. And I started full force, like, okay, I've got to create this nonprofit. I got to do all of these things. And very promptly, I stopped because it was a lot. And I decided that this was not my job. And during this fast, God showed me that this was my job and that I didn't need a building. I needed people. I didn't need a building. I needed connection. And he gave me the mission, but I really believe all of us the mission to create wellness through community and connection. And I know a lot of people have had visions and very similar visions, and I believe that God is calling us together to create this. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know that right now I've put my boots on the ground, and I'm just going forward waiting for God to lead. So.
Okay, many of us have vision in our hearts of a thing, whether it's a mental health wellness center or there's something that God's put in your heart. Listen, the Lord wants you to steward the vision. Don't make the vision an idol.
Amen.
Right? So sometimes we can make the vision like, I'm never really going to be happy till that thing happens. No, that's an idol. Yep. We find our wellness, our wholeness in Christ. And as we follow that thing that he puts right in front of us, then he opens those doors. He moves that thing forward. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we pray for everybody who has vision. We pray for everybody with a vision of what God wants to do in this next season. Father, even the end game, even the thing that you want to ultimately do, Father, we put that in your hands and we entrust it to you. And we trust that, God, you're going to bring the right people. You're going to bring the right timing. You're going to bring the right resources. And Father, all we have to do is look in front of you, in front of us to say, God, you are the light that lights up our path. So, God, I pray that you lay out every step carefully for Rachel. We say, Rachel, you're home. You're rooted and grounded, surrounded with everything that you need to fulfill the vision that God has given you. Father, we don't understand your timing, but we trust that your promises are true. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. What's up, buddy? Yeah, go ahead.
I believe in God.
Let's go, Riker. The kids, the Harvest Kids pastor is like, yeah. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Is anyone else feel like they had something from the fast or 21 days, Kevin? Yep. Come on. And then I'll ask the worship team to come up.
I'll be quick. Well, maybe not. You know, in this fast, and a lot of people already know that when I first, it's been over 20 years ago, came to God, I looked at fasting as a way to manipulate God, believing that if I did a fast, he had to do what I wanted him to do. And I figured out really fast that that's not how it works. So going into this, when I kept praying, you know, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to fast? And there was a few things the first week I wasn't eating breakfast, was doing a few things like that. And they'd put on the one about the liquid fast, and I'd done one similar to that before. I've done long fasts before, and I went a month eating, the only thing I ate was seeds and nuts. I lost 30 pounds. People thought I was drugs on drugs. I mean, but in this, I did the fast. I did 7 days of the liquid this time, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just wimping. I'm like, I'd already lost 10 pounds. I'm like, God, is this really what? He goes, no, because you're not doing it for me. You're doing it for you. And I said, but I haven't told anybody what I'm doing. Nobody knows I'm doing this. He goes, but you're still doing it for you, not for me. He goes, just listen to me. And one of the scariest things he can do is tell you who you are, is show you what he wants you to be and who he sees you as. And when he starts to reveal that, it is scary, super scary. Because we never see ourselves completely the way he does, because it would scare us all. And I know that you all think I know everything, but I really don't. But I have somebody in me that does. Amen. And I thank him every day that he doesn't let me know everything, because I couldn't handle it in any way. But he has revealed. And the other thing he was saying during his fast is start listening to the people around you who are telling you who you are. Surround you with the people who will be honest with you and tell you who you are. And then accept it. And listen to it. Because they're speaking out what he's told them to say. On the other side of that, he said, when you see it in somebody, tell them. Because that's how some of us hear from him, is through other people. When we have our ears open and our eyes open. So all I can say is just, and be who he wants you to be. Quit looking around at everybody else and just be who he wants you to be. No comparison. That's one of the biggest things I've had a time with over the years, is I'm like, oh, I want to be like him. And God will have to sit me down and say, no, you're nothing like him. I made you to be you. And you'll do it the way you do it, and it'll be the way I want you to do it. So just be who you are.
The thing the Lord was speaking to me most during this whole time was about hunger, because I was fasting. And since I was fasting, it was all about hunger. And the Lord began to just show me more and more that when we position our physical bodies in a place, or with, whether it's we said no to social media or TV or movies, and you decided to add something different in, the whole goal is to encounter him. Nothing in this world will satisfy. And there's a longing in our souls for more. Would you agree? Yes. Are you hungry for more today? Yes. I heard some amazing testimonies that just stirred me to go deeper, made me a little more hungry to go after God. I want to dance in my living room and see mist in the kitchen. I want to be watching a sermon and have a fireball pop up. I want to have dreams that give me warnings and encouragement and give me powerful insight. I want more from my everyday with him. And until we're there, until it's all said and done, there's more. There's more of him. He's an eternal supply.
Thank you for joining us today. Harvest Valley Worship Center is called to be a refuge for healing and a launch pad for transformation. If this message impacted you today, please let us know in a comment, or you can email us at media@hvwc.com. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you.